hear about Jesus from our dedicated volunteer teachers this morning. Thankful for each of them, and thankful for just the community that God is building in this local church house. And just been thinking this month, as I wrote about in the faith prompts this week, just the impact of God's love in our relationships. And so I think it would be a good time for us in this month of February to think about that. And so the series is just called Home Remodeled. And maybe some familiar things to you, but this is the truth of God's word. It's the way that our house gets built. It's Him and the movement of His word doing the work. So we all need a little bit of hope, right? A little more than we have. We need to be encouraged. And today we look at the foundation and starting the right way. So really just the basics. And aren't you glad that living the life that Jesus wants us to live is really about just following through in the basics most of the time? Like the plain things are the main things, and just, you know, tells us, hey, this is what's better for you, and this is what's better for your family, and this is what's better for humanity, because God, the Father, knows best. But as we look at this idea of what Jesus wants and home remodeling, you know, we think about that picture, we think about our own house, and what gives a house value. Some of you are like, well, I'd love to be able to get a house, you know, and we look at this kind of the market situation around us, more and more difficult for people to do that. But, you know, you get a house and or you're looking at a house and you got to call up the people to do the home appraisal, right? We know about home appraisals. You wait for, you know, the expert to come out and take a look at the place and kind of give you the comps, the comparables, and you hope the appraisal comes back to you with the numbers you've been praying for, the happy numbers. But recently I got that note from the city, like, oh yeah, we just made an adjustment for you. You know, that happens. But, you know, what is your home, not your house or your apartment or wherever you're staying? Like, what is your house? I mean, what is your home? I'm sorry. What's your home really worth? That's a very different question. Home, house. Beams, bricks, other materials make houses, but it takes the love of family to make a house into a happy home. And if you got a spiritual appraisal of your home, what would the value be? Some of you would take great joy, I believe, in the validation in certain respects of how much value your home has gained since you first started out. I mean, yeah, you've got room to grow, and yet you're living in a gospel-centered home. You want it to be about following Jesus. You care about what Jesus wants over everything. Your home features a committed marriage that's growing stronger with Jesus at the focus. And when you fall down, you help pick one another back up again. And we could add, maybe He's granted you children, and they're also learning to follow hard after Jesus. They see the gospel alive and moving in your home. They're learning the need of, as well, of genuine repentance and fresh faith in who Jesus is and what Jesus has accomplished for all of His spiritual family. And even on the hard days, there is an aroma in your home, the aroma of God's grace. Praise God for that. On the flip side, maybe there's some sadness. Maybe some of you realize that a spiritual appraisal of your home life would show how really kind of spiritually underwater and messed up your home values are. It's much worse than being physically and financially underwater. When you're drowning under the weight of distrust and deceit and painful disappointment, it just feels like all the hope has left the building. And who wants to live in a place without hope? Maybe you've watched some of those TikToks, some of those reels, or some of the TV shows that, you know, the experts go in and they, they completely remodel somebody's house and do amazing things. And right after like a week or whatever, they surprise the family, come in and see the amazing finished results. And I mean, you watch those things. I do. I'm just like, I don't have those skills. I'm just like, you know, really engaged with the transformation process and those stories. You know, what a difference an expert can make, the whole remodeling thing, you know, and it maybe gives your spouse some ideas. Hey, we could do this, you know, and the to-do list grows, you know. And transforming and remodeling physical structures in houses, that's one thing, but it's far more challenging to rebuild hope when relational hope has been lost. The fact of the matter is, relationships are hard. Whether we admit it or not, we all need the Lord Jesus. When we read in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, we need Jesus. God the Father so loved this rebel-hearted world that God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to save all of his people from the eternal curse of our sin. And that makes the gospel, the good news about Jesus, the best news ever. God's love meets us in our need. And aren't you glad that the great physician is in the business of healing sin-sick people? I hope you know this morning that Jesus cares for your soul. And ultimately, only the Lord Jesus is able to build us up as a spiritual household of faith. He's the one who restores real and lasting hope. Faith Bible Church, our church family, is a spiritual community. We've got young and old believers. We have singles and married people, who are married no longer. And in God's grace, we have these families with growing children. And it's an answer to our prayers, right? It's an answer to our prayers. And so it's a good time for us to focus on what God wants for our family relationships. Home remodeled. As we think about our spiritual appraisal value in the eyes of our Lord and Savior, let's pray that God would help us to take the next steps of building. Because we're familiar with remodeling projects, but the home remodeling image reminds us we need his blueprints. You have to have a plan to follow. You get something in the mail, you open the box, right? You just start making it, and you're not paying any attention to the instructions. And that can end up in real frustration, right? We need the blueprints. There was blueprints that went into making this structure, just like where you live. You have to have a plan. And our spiritual success before God is all about the plan. It's all about faithfulness to God's word. We need to go to God's word to know how to have a more beautiful family room and how to increase loving intimacy in the bedroom and even how to helpfully straighten up the kids' room. But let's first talk about the foundation, because we've got to start building the right way on the right foundation. So the first home remodeling image is the foundation. We're talking about starting right. Every house needs a strong, stable foundation, because if the foundation work is faulty, oh, you're in big trouble. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11 pictures the household of God's family, God's church, being built on the only sure foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter, do we have it there? I wanted to read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Can we read that together? According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the apostle's saying, hey, he's building generationally. God has different people involved in ministering. But the foundation, the only sure foundation, is Jesus. You know, when I counsel other couples approaching marriage or couples struggling in marriage, really, there's three ultimate questions that need to be answered right up front. The first ultimate question is the most essential. Is your hope on Jesus? Is your hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because the only hope for our broken down sinful hearts is God's grace, won for us through Christ. Jesus has got to be at the center, amen? He came to live the life we could never live, to die the death we deserve. He rose from the grave, conquering death and satisfying God's holy justice so that we can live on the sure foundation, the solid foundation of faith, hope, and love centered on Jesus. It's the gospel that saves us. And only in God's gospel do we discover the way forward through forgiveness and change and the acceptance that we need. And so the first question is all your hope resting in Christ alone? You've also got to answer, does your home find its purpose in God? Is the purpose of your home God's purpose? Because your home life is not meant to just be an end in yourself. Did you know that your family can be an idol? You got to think bigger. If your hope is focused on you living your best life for you, or your family living your family life just for your family, that ain't it, the Bible says. Your focus can't be you. Your focus can't even be your spouse or your children. Your focus needs to be following Jesus and influencing others towards Him. No turning back. Maybe you have this verse somewhere in your house. I hope it's more than just boilerplate. Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a statement that gets noticed in this world. It matters. The Lord intends for your home life to spread the fame of His name. And you do that by daily tasting and seeing that the Lord is good and that the Lord intends for you to make this declaration. And not just in isolation, but in community. Your link with God's people is key to a strong home. So a third ultimate question is, are you on a journey of following Jesus with a local body of fellow believers? Are you plugged into the fellowship? Because every person and every family needs a church family. We need a place to call home. It's an issue of your spiritual foundation. If we go back to 1 Corinthians 3, Paul's writing to the church because it's families connecting as a local church community that builds on the foundation of Jesus to represent Jesus. We're here to help care and lift up and love one another. Whether in a marriage, whether you have children or not, whether you're single or not, to be content with how God has appointed you and the purpose that He's given to your life. Our church family covenant of doing life together for Jesus is built on all of the New Testament one another in commitments. That's what we've spelled out in our bylaws. We didn't come up with that. It's from the New Testament. And it all boils down to the one another that is all about love. Love one another. We care about one another, building on the right foundation, Jesus. So if your home is not building according to the blueprint of God's word, in fellowship with God's people, you're heading for big trouble. There's absolutely no hope outside of building on Christ and Christ alone. So how's your spiritual foundation? Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built, But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And when the stream broke against it, immediately it fell. And Jesus said, the ruin of that house was great. What a horrible picture for the person without the right foundation. To use another analogy of starting with the right foundation, we might think of the image of the front door of your place. You get home, maybe you go through a different door, but if I come over, you probably invite me through the front door, right? So let's talk about the spiritual front door of your household. You know, the door that represents the entry point that we need to think seriously about. What is the purpose and the value of a spiritual front door? I'm sure you've heard the expression, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That comes from way back. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Well, keeping an eye on who you welcome in at the front door is far better than having to kick out the wrong influences after they've come in and caused a whole lot of problems. Because once the stink gets in, you're going to wish you would have kept the skunk out. Wherever you live, you're going to want to have boundaries, right? You're going to want to have a monitored access point. Your house needs borders and boundaries. From the start of moving in, you want to identify the right entry point, and you want to be able to keep an eye who's coming in and who's going out. Maybe you even install an extra lock on the door. Maybe you install some cameras. We all get the need to have a secure front door. And so I want to think first about this front door purpose of security. You want to keep your house safe and secure. I remember when I was growing up, we would go, 4-hour trip to the grandparents' house in rural Indiana. And my grandparents, missed them, but they lived in an old farmhouse in this little town. There was just a couple hundred people there. And by old, I mean like 1880s old. You know, my grandpa had like jacks that he would monitor in the basement, you know, all across the this dirt kind of basement. You know, we weren't supposed to go down there because you'll knock into my jacks. But anyway, you know, we visit this old house, you know, 2-story farmhouse. And as a kid, you know, coming from here, my parents, you know, always would say, well, hey, make sure, you know, lock the doors. We always lock the doors. But when we go visit the grandparents, they didn't seem too concerned about locking their doors. And the door itself, to be honest, was pretty janky. Like, you could like kind of like see through the crack there in the wood, you know. And in the summertime, they kept the doors like wide open. The windows were wide open, you know, because there was no AC. We got to keep the breezes blowing through. And, you know, I remember my cousin and I sometimes waking up, you know, and you hear creaking and different sounds and shadows, you know, we'd wonder, like, everything's wide open. Did a bad guy come in here, you know? And you want your front door to be secure for your family's sake. Before leaving the house or going to bed, I'm checking the front door, you know? It's got to be secure. How many times have you asked that question to somebody you live with? Hey, did you lock the front door? Think about this, the security of your family's spiritual front door. Wise souls invest in securing relationships the right way from the start. What does the covenant of marriage require? It requires the affirmation before God and these witnesses, till death do us part. God's word gives the blueprint. Marriage is a covenant relationship between a man and a woman. Leaving, cleaving, and weaving in a lifetime loving commitment. So before you jump into marriage, you need to make sure you're starting on the right foundation. What's the right foundation? Jesus. Jesus at the center. And you need to agree about your open door policy and your shut door policy. Shut the front door, right? They don't get to come in. Oh, these are the people that we want to come in. You know, these are the things that help our family. We have to understand there's a real enemy who's seeking to destroy our spiritual home. There's a clear and present danger. God's plan for human flourishing is structured around the gift of marriage and family. That's Genesis 1 and 2. But what happens in Genesis 3? We encounter the enemy. We have met the enemy, that old serpent, the devil. The devil entices, oh, did God really say that? Come on. The devil is pretty crafty. He's been at it a long time. He's still behind all the evil forces in this world trying to cancel and replace the blueprint, biblical family values. The devil is the father of all lies, the expert at the fake news. And in our selfish default mode, we're so easily distracted by all of the world's like new improved ideas. Oh, did God really say that's what's better for you and for humanity? Don't think so. We have a better way. And we get distracted by these promises of lesser things. Because apart from God's word, apart from the grace of the gospel, we're going to be blind. We're lost and blind to the eventual consequences of leaning on our own understanding. Spiritual intruders sneak in to destroy the influence of God's grace and truth. But you know what? Sometimes they don't have to sneak in. Because you left the front door wide open to spiritual rebellion and all the nonsense. Make no mistake, church, the light of the gospel is always in conflict with the darkness. And don't you see it now more than ever? Now more than ever, we are in a spiritual battle. We need to stand strong on God's word and stand behind the protection of what God says is good for our family, what God says is good for our church family and for our society. The front door represents a foundational issue. Who's going to have access? And it's really smart to identify that before a crisis. Jesus says in John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. How beautiful. God's Son, Jesus, in concert with the Father through the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit, takes up residence in each soul that loves him because he first loved us. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, in the context of Jesus' warning to the church there in the town of Laodicea, Jesus gives his church a front door picture to urge the communion that he offers his church based on his finished work. Jesus says, behold, take a look at this. Gaze on this. I stand at the door and knock. That's a pretty clear picture, isn't it? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I know you may have heard this verse and it was some kind of an application to an evangelistic invitation. But Jesus is talking to the churches. I'm standing at the door and knocking, believer. I'm standing at the door and knocking, church family. Christ's professing church is going to be totally ineffective if we're indifferent to Jesus at the door. The Laodiceans, these believers, Jesus, he's confronting them because they were full of pride. They were boasting about all that they had. So rich, we're so rich. And they were boasting about all the things that they did. But they weren't representing the right foundation of Jesus. They were self-deceived. And that's why Jesus says, they're not like the healing hot waters that came from the nearby hot springs, the town of Hierapolis. And you're not like the refreshing cold mountain streams No, you're spiritually lukewarm. And what does Jesus say? I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. Revelation 3:16. And yet Jesus says in this context, he says to the church, I'm right here. I'm at the door. I'm at the front door, always graciously ready and willing to come inside for close communion. And whenever we open our door to receive the Lord with genuine repentance over our sin and genuine trust, not leaning on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledging Him, what happens? He directs our path. And in the context of Revelation 3, He says, I will come in. It's going to be great. This is the better way. It's a text that highlights our responsibility to open up our hearts to everything that Jesus wants. He's calling. He's knocking. He's the only Savior and Lord. And He is the worthy Master because He gave His life to make us His family. But He's looking for a heartfelt welcome to His rule and care. Do you welcome Jesus in or do you shut Him out? I love how Jay said, if we just got to have our hearts so full of Jesus, nothing else can fit in there, right? Do you welcome Jesus in or you shut Him out? Or do you want Jesus maybe just to have limited access? Yeah, you can come in the front door, but, you know, don't venture here beyond just my family room. I got that all cleaned up for you, but don't go down the hall, you know? If you want to dine in the joyful satisfaction of all Jesus promises, you've got to fling the welcome wide open. If you want a strong home, Jesus has got to have full access. So as we think about the spiritual front door, the flip side is our responsibility of disinviting, giving the boot to all the influences that would push Jesus out of His rightful place. Where are the idols in your heart? You got to chuck them out. In Paul's letter to the Colossian church, we're confronted with the supremacy of Christ over everything. That's the point of the whole letter. Jesus is our true treasure. And since we treasure Jesus and what Jesus wants, we've got to seek the impact that only He can make in our relationships. In Colossians chapter 3, we've looked at this passage in times past, speaks to the application of the gospel upon our marriage union and upon our parent-child relationships. But the instructions that Paul writes, they all hinge on the life-changing power of the gospel. That's why Paul says in Colossians 2, 6, and 7, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Have you made the right start? Is Jesus the foundation? If so, then keep walking in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding in thanksgiving. See, the hope for being built up and rooted and firmly established in the faith is just to keep going in union with Christ. And maybe right now you're like, it's really hard. I don't have a lot of hope. The question is, how much are you welcoming the Word of Christ? Fact, true security is only found when Jesus Himself is the door. I love John 10, where Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Think about this picture of a sheepfold. That's the place out on the hills. There was a place where the sheep could sleep safely. Why? Because the shepherd himself is the door. There's one gate, one way in and out. And the security of the sheep depends on the shepherd at the gate. And that's why Jesus assures us, I am the door for God's flock. If you're in Jesus, you're eternally safe. You're secure in the good shepherd. He gave his life so that you will live forever as his flock. But if you truly belong to Jesus' flock, you're going to stand out. The world will be the world, right? But the church needs to be the church. We must stand out. There's lots of families that are lost in spiritual hopelessness, in the darkness. Fact is, if you are hearing this message and you are outside of Jesus' flock, you don't even know how hopeless you are. Ignoring the good shepherd leads to lots of dark and dangerous places on this road of life and then to an eternity in a real place of condemnation Jesus calls hell. If you're following Jesus' steps, he makes the difference. He makes you obvious in this dark world. The light of Christ shines in the darkness and shines in his people. It's the light that can't be snuffed out. So it must be obvious that the matchless name of Jesus is your foundation, that his name is written large across your front door, deciding what gets the access and what doesn't. Because it's not about your own, leaning on your own understanding. If it's not for the glory of Jesus, it's simply not good for you or for your family. Shut the front door and tell sin to hit the road, you know? Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back. We need a front door to have that security, to practice that wisdom. And there's also a front door purpose. Secondly, just and briefly, just think about the purpose of attractiveness. You can really increase your home's curb appeal with a purposefully designed and tastefully decorated front door. You know, the front door is kind of like for most houses, it's a focal point when you're approaching. And so there's a purpose of attractiveness. I mean, a lot of us, you know, you've seen front doors. You've got ones that are basic, and some, you know, you go to the mansions over there, and, you know, they're pretty elaborate front doors. You're like, that looks nice. There's other developments, you know, where, like, one door looks the exact same as the other 100 doors all lined up, you know. But the front door can have an attractional value. It can impact you know, that dynamic of your home. And so we ask the question, what makes the spiritual front door of our life and family attractive? Well, the answer to that question is, who do you want to please? When Jesus controls the front door of access to our heart, when his name is written across the front door of our home, when it's his word and his will deciding the style of our words and actions, then we're representing what's pleasing to Jesus. And Jesus will use us to display his gospel to others, to the praise of his glory. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Listen. Listen to God the Holy Spirit in the word of God. God's family is mission entrusted to the praise of his glory. God's family is saved to stand out from all the unbelieving families on the block, to represent how worthy he is of all the praise. Why do we experience such relational mess in our life, in our family relationships? Why is there so much friction? Why do we have so much problem? It's not because of the stuff Jesus says should be there. It's because of the stuff Jesus says shouldn't be there. It's all the sinful stuff that Jesus came to save us from. So we just have to admit we need far more than just like a surface remodeling. We've got to start by confessing our need. We all really need the change that only Jesus makes from the inside out. We need to follow the blueprint of his word. We need to start with Jesus and continue with Jesus. Why? Because following his plan, it's about more than just curb appeal, how other people see you. Jesus says, it's deeper than the surface. I'm making everything new. Behold, I make all things new. He makes us his new creation. The old ways, donezo, right? You're a new creation. And maybe you're like, well, I've started with Jesus. I've been continuing Jesus. But there's a lot of distractions. Again, we have a real enemy. He's pretty crafty. And so don't underestimate the change that Jesus can make in your heart and in your home. It's not hopeless. Because Jesus lives. But here's the thing. You've got to be all in on the remodeling project. You've got to be all in. Lukewarmness isn't what Jesus wants. It's not helpful to anybody. Our life and our family must passionately spread the aroma of his grace and truth. He is the master builder. And he builds a faith that is worthy of imitation. And a love that is unstoppable. And a hope that just keeps persevering for a future that is bright and as beautiful as the glorious throne of God Almighty. Our lives bear all of the pain and the scars of the sin-broken world. Fact is, we are great sinners. But Jesus is a great Savior. He heals and restores and makes all things new. Aren't you glad that there's no security and there's no attractiveness like Jesus? If you haven't started with Jesus, again, today, don't put it off. Today is the day of salvation. Call in the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Now is the right time to start building the right way on the right foundation. Now is the right time to keep building your life on the solid rock. The key to the remodeling is opening the door and filling your whole space with the communion of Christ. They taught me a song when I was in Sunday school long, long time ago. One door and only one, and yet the sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? Which side are you on? Are you on Jesus' side? Because if you're on Jesus' side, brothers and sisters, you're on the right side of history and you're on the right side of eternity. God has something so much better than all the painful dysfunction of leaning on our own understanding and going our own way. His gospel promises hope. Far more transformative than any kind of like a physical building project. It's amazing grace. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your path in his excellent word. That's it. And so I want to close this first message on home remodeled with the words from Ephesians 3, because I find them to be the words of hope that I go to personally time and time again. Because the Apostle Paul prays for God's people that Christ would like settle down, like just be at home, make his home in your heart by faith. And that means no matter how bad you think that things are right now, everything can change When you fling the door open, you say, Jesus, come in. Make my heart your home. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than anything that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen, church? Amen. And so we pray, Father in heaven, that you would make it so in your amazing grace. Wherever there is a lack of hope, wherever there is indifference to the blueprint of your word that you give for our life and for our family, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would do that work of conviction and the work of restoration and remodeling. That we would be the witnesses of the difference that Jesus makes. I pray that over every person in this church family, over every mom and dad, and over children that you have given to us, Lord, that they would grow up to see Jesus as the only hope, and that Jesus, you would be the master builder in each of their lives too, so that we would all be a part of this glorious promise, this gospel proclamation, that we will enjoy life in your family forever and ever. We pray these things to the praise of your glory. We pray that you would just impress on us how good and how great you are, Heavenly Father. As we close the service, would you just lift up those familiar words?